Hello, everyone. We're continuing on with Thomas Manton, an exposition with notes upon the Epistle of Jude. Last time we did verse 10, but these speak evil of the things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. And Lord willing, we're going to continue on here today with verse 11. And I'll go ahead and start that now. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Here the apostle comes to reckon up their sins, and he does it by examples which are suited so that they may imply both the sin and the punishment. Three are produced in this verse, that of Cain, to note the malice and cruelty, that of Balaam, to note their covetousness and seduction, and that of Korah, to note their faction and sedition against magistracy and ministry, as Korah and his accomplices rose up against Moses and Aaron. Now he'll go through the words of the verse. Woe unto them! It is prophetically spoken, not execratorially, as a threatening or denunciation, not as a curse. For they have gone in the way of Cain. Cain's example is produced because he was the first and chief of them that departed from the true church and pure service of God. Genesis 4:16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt, etc. Tertullian said he was the devil's patriarch, the first root of the carnal seed, or of the seed of the serpent, in whom persecution began. Now Cain's way was a way of murder. He slew his brother because he was more righteous and godly than himself. 1 John 3:12. And so they go in his way that have an envy and hatred against their holy brethren, which many times proceeds so far as violence, persecution, and murder. This instance is fitly applied to these seducers, for if the Targum of Jerusalem is true, besides the particular grudge which Cain had against Abel about the acceptance of the sacrifice, there was a dispute which happened between them in the field concerning the providence of God and the last judgment in the world to come. So were these seducers exasperated against the Orthodox, not only because of the greater presence of God among them, but also because of the difference of judgment about Christ, the world to come, and providence, with other wholesome doctrines by which godliness is maintained. So the people that that Jude is speaking to. Again, Cain slew Abel. So were these Gnostics ready to break out into all violence against those that dissented from them and stirred up the Jews to persecution against the Christians. Cain, after this murder, was haunted with his own ghost and trembled wherever he came. So does Cain's end attend Cain's curse, such quakings and fears of conscience following them wherever they went. It is said, the Lord set a mark upon Cain, Genesis 4:15. What this mark was is much disputed. Most say it was a continual trembling and quaking throughout his body. And the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament, renders in Genesis 4:12, thou shalt be a vagabond upon the earth, thou shalt be groaning and trembling upon the earth. And the word Nod, the name of the place where he sojourned, is by interpretation quaking or trembling, which if so, our wicked Quakers may see who was their patriarch. Now from this first sentence, observe, observation one, that the practice of wicked men now and the practice of wicked men from the beginning is still the same. Cain's club, as Bucolser speaks, is still carried about in the world, stained with the blood of Abel, Galatians 4:29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. So it was then, so it is now, so it will be while the spirit of the devil works in the world. We have the same original sin which they had in former times. For a long time, a disease runs in the blood and is continued in a line and family, but after some generations, it is worn out. but this filth will still run as long as there is a channel of carnal generation to convey it. Again, we have the same devil to tempt us. Whoever is converted, he will never turn Christian, to be sure. And there are the same provocations and occasions to exasperate men's corruptions. Well, then, let us not be over-troubled. There is no new thing under the sun. The same devil that rages now has been a murderer from the beginning, John 8:44. The same devil that deceives now was a liar from the beginning. Are there those now that separate from all the churches of God? There were Donatists in former times. Are there now that deny the Godhead of Christ? There were Arians then. Are there now ranters and familists? And there were Gnostics then. Are there bloody enemies of the truth? Every age can yield its canes. Again, if we would better know the state of our times, let us blow off the dust from our old precedents. The devil does but play over the old game, and though the scene be shifted and furnished with new actors, the plot is the same. Observation 2, observe again, heretics and libertines usually turn persecutors, for it is said here, they go in the way of Cain. Satan, that is a liar, is also a murderer. A false way cannot subsist without the props of blood and cruelty. Witness the Circumcellians, the Priscillianists, the Arians, the Donatists, the tragedies at Munster. An erroneous opinion is touchy, and therefore effarates the minds of men against those that oppose it. Believe not seducers, then, when they come in sheep's clothing. It is but that they may get a power to play the wolves the better. And when libertines increase, let magistrates look about them. There are clouds gathering together towards a dismal storm, and though they seem to be meek and full of love, while their party is contemptible, yet when they grow considerable, they appear in their colors. Again, let us bless God for the peace we enjoy. There are swarms and droves of locusts abroad, but blessed be God that there is a restraint upon them, that there is a spirit of perversity mingled with their counsels. I tell you, the great danger of the latter times is from libertines. Many fear a second deluge of anti-Christianism, but that is not so probable as the seditious insurrections of sectaries. What sad havoc will be made of the people of God when once those bloody-minded wretches get power? The latter times, or perilous times, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Why? From what sort of men will the danger arise? Not from the anti-Christian or Popish party, so much as from a libertine party, from Quakers, ranters, anti-scripturalists, familists, etc. The anti-Christian party carries things by power and worldly greatness, but this party there described is a creeping party that gets into houses, leadeth captive silly women, verse 6. The anti-Christian party abuses the sword of the magistrate, but this is a traitorous party, heady, high-minded, verse 4, a party rising up against magistracy. The anti-Christian party are stiff and obstinate in their old forms, but this is a party of seekers looking for new discoveries, holding nothing certain in religion, ever learning and never coming to the acknowledgement of the truth, verse 7. In short, the party there described are a party that deny civil reverence, natural affection, and are contemptuous despisers of the true and holy servants of Christ, and all this carried on under a pretense and form of godliness. This is the party from whence I fear such danger and disturbance, if the Lord put not a hook into their jaws, or do not awaken the magistrate to look to the safety, not only of Christ's interests, but his own. Cursing Balaams will soon prove bloody Cains, and wicked seducers, tyrannous oppressors, or tyrannous oppressors. The next part of the description is, and run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. His story begins in Numbers 22, and his tragedy you have in Numbers 31, verse 8. the footnote, Balaam cursed Israel for hire against his own conscience. So did these pervert the truth, the ones that Jude is talking to. Balaam had oracles to sell. So they adulterated the doctrine of the gospel out of covetousness and filthy lucre, these people that Jude is talking to. Simon Magus, out of whose school the Gnostics came, would, you know, buy and sell the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 8. Now, after this error, it is said they ran greedily, were poured out. It is a metaphor taken from a river overflowing the banks, or from a thing poured out from a bucket with a full current. Now from hence observe, observation number one, that the devil entices his slaves to diverse sins, as to the malice of Cain, so to the covetousness of Balaam. Observation two, that men are usually carried into errors by the bait of gain and worldly profit, 2 Peter 2, verse 3, through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, that which is the root of other evils, is often the root of heresies or sect-making. Souls are a precious commodity. Christ thought them worthy of his own blood, but seducers count them cheap ware. For their own gain and worldly interests, they care not how they betray souls. Yea, Christ himself is sold by them, as Judas purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, Acts 1, verse 18. Oh, then beware of covetousness. It is a great snare. A covetous man, the devil has him upon the hip, and how far or whether he will carry him, he cannot tell. Balaam had many good gifts. God is said to have put words into his mouth, Numbers 23, verse 26. He asked counsel of the Lord, loath to go, yet covetousness by degrees wrought upon him. Observation number three, from the word whatever the Greek word is, men sin with full bent of heart and are carried out violently against all restraints of conscience, as Balaam, notwithstanding the checks and disappointments which he met with in the way, the dumb ass forbidding the madness of the prophet, 2 Peter 2:16, yet was still hurried on by the violent impulsions of his own lust and greedy desire of reward, lust being typically a corrupt desire of the heart, and greedy desire of reward. So the apostle speaks of some that work uncleanness with greediness, Ephesians 4:19. The motions of lust are rapid and violent, again, those corrupt desires of the heart. We are in earnest when we do the devil's work. A stone runs downhill with a swift motion because of its propension and tendency that way. Oh, when shall we learn to serve God as we have served Satan? Our work is better, our wages better, and our master best of all. When shall we pour out our hearts in prayer as we do to sin? In the business of religion, we act with a great deal of dividedness and partiality. Our evil works are merely evil, but our good by no means can be purely good. Observation number four, again observe that covetousness is a violent, headstrong lust. You would think uncleanness is most violent, is having a rage and a passionateness in it. It is so, but covetousness is more strong, as engaging not only to the lighter part of the affections, but the will itself. 1 Timothy 6:19, he that will be rich, etc. Fits of lust are earnest for the present, but this is the constant and more deliberate bent of the heart toward that which is evil. Watch the more that your feet be not taken in this snare. The last sentence is perished in the gainsaying of Korah. This is produced to note their factious practices, like factions. You have the story of him in Numbers 16. Being overcome with ambition, he would take upon him the priesthood. He and his accomplices made head against Moses and Aaron, but he perished in the attempt, and so will these likewise that rise up against magistracy and ministry as surely as if it were already accomplished. And therefore, though they were not as then born, yet they are said to perish when Korah perished. They weren't born back in Korah's time, and yet they are said to perish when Korah did. So from hence, note observation number one, that ambition breeds faction. Hence, Korah gainsaid. Diotrephes loved the preeminence and therefore troubled the church. 3 John verse 10. All stirs begin first in our own lusts. Again, corrupt desires of our hearts. Men are discontented with their estate, would be higher, and therefore break rank. It is an excellent thing to be contented with our own station. Jesus Christ was Hebrew words, Isaiah 53 verse 3, the leaving off of men, or contented to be in the lowest rank. If God has denied you any condition in the world which you affect, you are not worthy of it, or it is not fit for you, etc. Observation 2, observe ambition that carries men against ministry, carries them against magistracy also. Korah and his companions rose up against Moses and Aaron. The church and commonwealth are like the soul and the body. The one fares the better for the welfare of the other, and seditious spirits will brook no restraint. Let them alone in the church, and they will soon disturb the state also. But of this more in as before in verse 8 of Jude, I guess. Observation 3, once more, the leveling humor is no new thing in the church of God. Their plea was, number 16, verse 3, all the Lord's people are holy, or saints, and why should any be set over them? Let us beware, then, of that parity which some affect. There must be rule and superiority, or all will come to naught. God made the world to consist of hills and valleys, and in church and state there must be governors and governed, teachers and those taught. It is Korah's sin to invade offices without a call and to destroy that order which God has established. Observation 4, again, observe schisms and factions in the church bring destruction in the end. Those that made a cleft in the congregation, the earth cleaved to swallow them up. Christ said, woe be to that man by whom offenses come, Matthew 18, verse 7. It is sad to take offense, but worse to give it. All the mischief that ensues will be reckoned to your score. Surely men would be more tender in this point if they did but think of the punishment that sensibly overtakes the disturbers of a well-ordered society. Observation 5, again, observe, the scripture speaks of things to come as already past, for it is said, these perished, etc. So Revelation 14, verse 8, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. What is threatened is as certain as if it were already accomplished. So also for promises, you have the mercy if you have the promise. By God's word, all things were created and do subsist. Let it be was enough to make a world. When God said, it shall be, is not the thing sure, though unlikely? Has God's word lost anything of its creating power? God counts our work done when but intended. Abraham offered the sacrifice, etc. Hebrews 11, 17, even though he never actually completed the actual act. Well then, let us be able by faith to see the ruin of wicked men when they reign, R-E-I-G-N, most. Now, observation 6, lastly, observe, wicked men may read their destruction in the destruction of others that sinned before them. They transgress the same law, and God is as tender of it as ever, and there is the same providence to take vengeance, which is as mighty as ever, and they act out of the same lusts, again, corrupt desires of the heart, which God hates as much as ever. Sin is not grown less dangerous now in the latter days. Surely then, a man would think the old world should grow wiser, having so many precedents. Pride may see its downfall in Nebuchadnezzar, sedition in Korah, rebellion in Absalom, violence in Cain, painted adulterousness in Jezebel, disorders in worship in the fall of the Bethshemites and the breach made upon Uzzah. The usurping of sacred offices without a call may see its danger in the leprosy of Uzziah. There is scarce a sin of pestilent influence of which we have not some example, which is set up like a mark in the way, in effect saying, take heed, enter not here. It will prove your ruin and destruction, or look upon me and be godly. All right, that is the end of verse 11, and we'll go ahead and stop there for now. And Lord willing, we will go on the next time. But until then, go in a holy fear and awe of the Lord, and again, a hatred of sin, as it is an affront to God, whom we love. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you again soon.